From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and folks who have the detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, and email or web addresses. So please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods up in a tripod or a tree sit or locked down in the dragon at the road blockade. And if you have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, keep that pencil and paper handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. Coming up October 1st, the San Francisco and International Close the Gap Between Rich and Poor in Our Sacred Redwood Forest, the Gap Rally, March, and Vigil. This escalation of the Gap campaign addressing both the deforestation and sweatshop issues is spearheaded by student anti-corporate activist group Stark, and Bottom Line by Jonas Zern. Gaptivists around the country are urged to do solidarity actions. Where? San Francisco, 1 o'clock on October 1st. That's a Saturday at the Gap flagship store. Powell and Market Street rally with music speakers, street theater, religious ceremonies related to Yom Kippur. At 4 p.m., there's a march to the Gap headquarters at 1 Harrison Street for more speakers, drumming and dancing, deliver demands to Gap, and hold a vigil. It says here, many environmental, labor, and human rights groups are endorsing this action. Send endorsement email to closethegap@gofairtrade.net and be sure to include your affinity group or organization's name, email address, and phone number. Coming up also on October 3rd is the Governor for Sale Rally for the Forest, taking place on the west steps of the Capitol Building in Sacramento. Bring bags of gray dollars to give to the governor, and that's part of the Board of Forestry Attendathon. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, 3 days from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Resources Building, 1416 9th Street in Sacramento. Critical to attend all 3 days, it says here. And part of that is the Daryl Cherney Forest Action Roadshow. This Sunday, September 24th, 3 p.m. at Arcata, California at the North Country Fair with the Chernobyls. Monday the 25th at 3 p.m. in Arcata at the Kate Buchanan Hall. That's just off the quad at Humboldt State for an organizing and strategy workshop. Tuesday the 26th, 7:30 at Redding, California. That's a confirmed date and time, but no location. Wednesday the 27th, 7:30 p.m. in Nevada City at the Ridge Community Center. Thursday, September 28th, 2 p.m. in San Francisco. There's a Forest Forever briefing. Thursday, September 28th at 7:30 p.m. in Berkeley at the Unitarian Church, Cedar and Bonita. Friday, September 29th, 8 p.m. in Davis, California. They're opening for Clan Dykin and Diane Patterson at the Orchard House in Davis. And Saturday, September 30th, there'll be a 3 p.m. organizing workshop and a 7 p.m. concert at Independence Hall Park in Arnold, California. And the following day, Sunday, October 1st, 2 p.m. in Chico, California, opening again for Clan Dykin and Diane Patterson in the park. In Chico, doesn't say which park, but Chico's small enough, it only has one park. You figure it out. Here's a message for forest activists in Southwest Oregon and the Boise Cascade Siskiyou region. I'm inviting you forest activists to gather here at Trillium Farm for a day in October at the Duca Tubiti Wilderness Campus on Sunday, October 15th from 9 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. We're going to share present and future projects, passions and needs, concerns, what we're up against, how we can work together, how we can support each other's programs, and just have a good time in a beautiful, wild, sacred place, coffee, tea, munchies, delicious vegan organic lunch. And they're asking a small donation for that information, 541-899-1712. That's 541-899-1712, or send email to chant@deepwild.org. Once again, that's chant@deepwild.org. Be sure and let them know you're coming so they cook enough food. And do not bring your dog. Anyway, it's all happening at the Duca Batati Wilderness Campus at Trillium Farm, 1000 Little Applegate River Road in Jacksonville, Oregon, 97530. Have fun up there. Here's a plea from Erica. I'm out in Idaho at the Cove Mallard Coalition. This email is pretty much a cry of desperation. They started logging out here a couple of weeks ago. The company is planning on logging for the next 3 months. There are six of us out here in the woods right now. There are 12 Freddy law enforcement officers doing 24-hour patrols. That doesn't sound like a good ratio to me. They need a few more activists out there, don't you think? And they are cutting very quickly. Get your butt out to Idaho. If you're looking for information, 208-882-9755. That's 208-882-9755. Or send email to cove@moscow.com. cove@moscow.com. They need help out there in the Cove Mallard. Here's an action alert. Friday, September 8th, the California Department of Forestry approved the first of six controversial Maxam Pacific Lumber timber harvest plans in the Rainbow Ridge area of the Mattole River on the Lost Coast of California, one of the largest unprotected contiguous lowland old-growth Douglas fir forests in California. You better believe it. Anyway, they need help up there. They want you to contact Susan Kennedy of Governor Davis's Deputy Chief of Staff. That's Susan Kennedy. Her number, 916-445-6131. 916-445-6131. Let her know how you feel about preserving the magnificent Mattole Rainbow Ridge Forest and that no entity is above the law. Okay? If she wants to know what the THPs are, tell them. She ought to know what those THPs are. Save Rainbow Ridge. If you want more information, contact EPIC. Their number is 707-923-2931. That's 707-923-2931. And I'm sure they would love to hear from you. And if you want more information, up-to-the-date information, they have a North Coast Timber Hotline. Here it is, 707-441-3828. That's 707-441-3828, or get yourself over to the webpage www.asis.com/tildecoho. You know that funny little wiggle. Anyway, www.asis.com/tildecoho on the web. Help stop the old M64 hardwoods timber sale. The Northwoods Wilderness Recovery and Citizens Public Lands began working to protect the Trap Hills in 1999. Anyway, this is in Michigan. Over the last 8 years, we've been able to put the Trap Hills on the map as a biological hotspot for threatened, endangered, and rare plants and animals. The Forest Service made an announcement in February the sale was on hold, but what does on hold mean? Well, they've laid out roads and marked over 1,000 acres of trees for cutting. It's habitat for threatened, endangered, sensitive, and rare plants and animals, including peregrine falcons, northern goshawks, red-shouldered hawks, wood turtle, fairy bells, bronze holly fern, male fern, prairie buttercup. Trap Hills lies in the north-south travel corridor of the Porcupine Mountains to the Sylvania Wilderness. It contains suitable habitat for endangered Canadian lynx, eastern timber wolf, and other species. What do they want you to do? Well, send letters and comments urging permanent protection of the Trap Hills in Michigan to Phyllis Green, Forest Supervisor, Ottawa National Forest, E6248 US2, Ironwood, Michigan, 49938. Once again, that's Phyllis Green, Forest Supervisor, Ottawa National Forest, E6248 US2, I'm sure that's U.S. Highway 2, Ironwood, Michigan, 49938. If you want to make a phone call, it's 906-932-1330. That's 906-932-1330. And if you'd like more information, contact Northwoods Wilderness Recovery. Their phone number, 906-225-1938. That's 906-225-1938. Let's see, email murphwild, M-U-R-P-H, wild1 at hotmail.com. murphwild1 at hotmail.com. Love those email addresses. Help protect national parks from jet skis. In April, the National Park Service announced a ban on jet skis, also called personal watercraft, in most national parks, including the Niobrara, Missouri National Scenic Riverways in Nebraska and South Dakota. Unfortunately, a vocal group of jet ski dealers is demanding the park scrap the ban and allow jet skiers to run their noisy, polluting machines wherever they want. Bowing to the demands from the South Dakota's representative John Thune, the National Park Service opened up a public comment period on the jet ski ban on the Missouri and Niobrara rivers. If the jet skiers succeed in overturning this existing ban on the Missouri and the Niobrara, it would set a horrendous precedent for the entire national park system. Action needed now. Emails or letters by September 30th to Paul Hedren, H-E-D-R-E-N, Park Superintendent, Missouri National River, P.O. Box 591, O'Neill, Nebraska, 28763. Once again, the address for your comments or emails by September 30th, Paul Hedren, Park Superintendent, Missouri National River, P.O. Box 591, O'Neill, Nebraska, 28763, and the email address mnrr_pwc@nps.gov. That's mnrr_pwc@nps.gov. And urge Paul to uphold the ban on jet skis on the Niobrara and Missouri National Scenic Riverways. Tell him that jet skis are noisy, polluting thrill craft that are inappropriate in a national park, where the preservation of water, wildlife, and natural sights and sounds is the primary mission. If you'd like more information, contact David Jenkins, American Canoe Association. His number is 703-451-0141, extension 20. That's 703-451-0141, extension 20. Or you can send email to daveJ@acanet.org. That's daveJ@acanet.org. Let's get into some activist news here. 28 Greenpeace volunteers have been acquitted in a genetically modified engineering trial. 28 Greenpeace volunteers were acquitted of criminal damage in a Norwich Crown Court in eastern England when a second jury failed to reach a verdict. The volunteers had originally been put on trial in April when a jury had acquitted them of theft and failed to reach a verdict on criminal damage. The volunteers had gone to trial. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, this acquittal totally vindicates our campaign to prevent genetic pollution of the environment. The government clearly cannot find a jury prepared to convict us for protecting property and the environment from genetic pollution. We now call on the government to end genetically modified farm-scale trials before any further genetic pollution of the environment occurs. So the good news, Greenpeace genetic engineering activists acquitted. Unfortunately, in British Columbia, two Alaho Ancient Forest defenders were jailed on Friday, September 15th, for 1 year for their nonviolent peaceful acts of disobedience. The Western Canada Wilderness Committee is dismayed and shocked at the extremely long sentences and harsh words handed down by B.C. Supreme Court Justice Perrette to those involved in a series of 1999 logging protests against International Forest Products, also known as Interfor, in the Alaho Valley of the proposed Stoltman National Park in British Columbia. Joe Foy, Western Canadian Wilderness Committee director, who was present in the court on Thursday while Justice Perrette read his two-hour judgment aloud, was particularly shocked that Dennis Porter, a young video journalist, was found guilty of civil contempt of court, even though his sole reason for being in the Alaho Valley was to video document the ongoing protests. In his judgment, Justice Perrette said he had viewed the video about Interfor loggers beating up conservationists in the Alaho Valley that Mr. Porter had helped edit, and he said he believed the video was not balanced. Perrette reasoned that Mr. Porter was therefore not an independent member of the media and found Mr. Porter guilty of civil contempt of court. Foy said the Justice Perrette's statements can be seen as an attack on the Canadian concept of freedom of the media. If you'd like more information, contact Western Canada Wilderness Committee. Joe Foy's number is 604-683-8220. That's 604-683-8220. If you'd like to write to the defendants, here's their names and addresses. Barney Kern, Justin Payne, Chris Nolan, and all these fine folks are at the New Haven Correctional Center, 4250 Marine Drive in Burnaby, British Columbia, V5J3E9, Canada. Once again, Barney Kern, Justin Payne, Chris Nolan. The address, New Haven Correctional Center, 4250 Marine Drive, Burnaby, British Columbia, V5J3E9, Canada. And Betty Krosick, this is the grandmother who's been given a year. And Risha Wolf, these two women are at the Burnaby Correctional Center for Women, 7900 Fraser Park Drive in Burnaby, British Columbia. The Canadian zip is V5J5H1 in Canada. Once again, Betty Krawczyk, that's spelled K-R-A-W-C-Y-Z-K, Risha Wolf. And again, the address, Burnaby Correctional Center for Women, 7900 Fraser Park Drive, Burnaby, British Columbia, V5J5H1, Canada. Let them know you appreciate their actions. And we also read that the Alajo Bridge has been closed to loggers and everyone else. September 19th, the bridge that provides the only logging road access into the Alajo Valley has been rendered impassable. About 220 spikes have been driven into the wooden bridge deck. The sharpened ends of the spikes are facing upwards, threatening any vehicles that might attempt a crossing with flat tires. The Alajo area north of Squamish, British Columbia, has been at the center of a prolonged logging dispute. There have been a number of confrontations between environmentalists and the forest industry. Mostly it's the forest industry doing the confrontating. The police are investigating the latest incidents. Greetings. As many of you already know, the Mexican environmental leaders Rudolfo Montiel Flores and Teodoro Cabrera Garcia were convicted in the 5th District Judge in Igualala, Guerrero, Mexico on Monday, August 28th. Rudolfo was sentenced to 6 years, 8 months for the crimes of marijuana cultivation, possession of arms without a license, and possession of arms licensed exclusively to the government. Teodoro received a 10-year sentence for the crime of possession of arms licensed exclusively to the military. Their defense lawyers are appealing the judge's ruling. Mexico's National Commission on Human Rights has found evidence that the two men were arbitrarily detained and tortured by members of the Mexican army, and the evidence on which they were charged was planted. The conviction of Rodolfo and Teodoro is clearly a gross miscarriage of justice. It is essential we continue to exert pressure during the appeals process. Please write personal letters of encouragement to both Rodolfo and Teodoro at the following address. That's Rodolfo Montiel Flores and Teodoro Cabrera Garcia. The address, Centro de Readaptación Social de Iguala, Carretera de Iguala, Tuxpan Iguala, I-G-U-A-L-A, CP40101, Guerrero, Mexico. Tell those folks you appreciate their work also. Protesters arrested at Gore headquarters in Washington. 10 protesters were arrested outside Vice President Gore's campaign headquarters in Olympia, Washington last week. Hundreds of activists had occupied the headquarters to protest Gore's ties to Occidental Petroleum, which plans to drill for oil on sacred Uwa Indian lands in Colombia. The activists entered the headquarters around noon in a small group, which later grew to about 200 people, said Gore spokeswoman Maria Meyer. The standoff lasted more than 7 hours, during which Gore's campaign workers spoke with the peaceful protesters. Around 5:30, Walt Bowen, chairman of the Thurston County Democratic Party, asked police to remove the protesters. The police gave the protesters the choice, leave or be arrested. Most left, but 10 stayed behind and were arrested. 3 demonstrators remained inside Gore headquarters, locked together with bicycle locks. Around 7:30 p.m., police managed to separate the final 3 protesters, who were not arrested. A spokesman for the protesters, environmentalist Kim Marks, said the activists wanted to draw attention to the plight of the Uwa. The tribe considers the land where Occidental plans to drill sacred ground and is threatened to commit mass suicide if Occidental is allowed to proceed. Vice President Gore's family owns $500,000 worth of Occidental Petroleum stock. His father, Tennessee Senator Albert Gore Sr., served on the company's board for 28 years. And the Underground Earth Liberation Front has claimed responsibility for a fire at Republican headquarters in Bloomington, Indiana. ELF has officially claimed responsibility for setting a fire at GOP headquarters. Last week, communique sent by Earth Liberation Front reads, "Greetings. On late Friday night, the Earth Liberation Front paid a visit to GOP headquarters in Bloomington, Indiana, leaving it in flames as we left. The fire was set as a reminder to politicians such as Jim Hostetler that we are watching and we will not sit idly by as they push for plans like Interstate 69. The construction of I-69 would fill the coffers of multinational corporations at the expense of the environment and working people everywhere. I-69 is just one example of the willingness of the rich to bleed the earth and the working class to fulfill their money lust. We have no faith in the present system of electoral politics where every candidate, both Republican and Democrat, is funded by corporate blood money. Because there are no viable options on the ballot, we must find other ways of voting. Our non-participation in and active resistance against this system controlled by the rich is our means of voting. We are everywhere and nowhere. The ELF in the past 3 years alone has inflicted well over $35 million in damages to entities profiting off the destruction of the earth in the United States and in Finland. A fur farm in western Finland was vandalized for a second time in less than a week when suspected animal rights activists released 2,000 minks from their cages. About 50 volunteers turned out in the rural town of Voiri to help capture the loose animals. Over 1,000 were recovered, but some of the minks that could not be caught had to be shot. Farmer Chrisman Rondland told Reuters by phone, about 600 minks were set loose on the same farm last Thursday, but so far police did not know who was behind the deeds. A group called the Animal Liberation Support Group relayed a message from an unidentified group claiming responsibility for the latest releases, saying they would continue until all the animals were free. Finland is one of the world's biggest exporters of fur, and in recent years, fur farms have frequently been raided by groups opposed to the industry. Here's a communique from the Finnish fur freers. We liberated 2,000 mink from Krister Rondland's farm. On the night between September 17th and 18th, we opened all the cages into sheds. At the farm, there were also foxes, who should be inspected by a vet. The cages were on the ground without adequate shelter. We think they are clearly against the law until they are all free. And that's the end of the communique. And it states, this is the fourth farm raid in Finland during this season. Moving down to Venezuela, indigenous Venezuelans have knocked down 7 electrical towers in the last 2 days that are part of a 1,500-kilometer power line system intended to carry electricity from the Guri Dam in southeast Venezuela to the state of Roraima in northern Brazil. According to a report by the state-run company Electrification de Caroni, the Pemon vandals loosened the bolts that secured the bases of the 7 towers located some 150 kilometers from the Brazilian border. The structures thus weakened toppled later from of winds and rain. In the last few years, the Indigenous Federation of Bolivar State, which encompasses the Pemon communities and other native groups, has protested the construction of the electrical line system, fearing it would lead to new and unruly mining settlements, tourism, and urbanization of their ancestral lands. We insist on stating our concern about the socio-cultural impact of the power lines, declared Nicholas Betty, a Federation leader who demanded, quote, a clear explanation of the type of development, unquote, to be associated with the project before he would grant his consent. And we're going to have more news right after we take a little musical break here. But let's listen to this one off of Uncle Dennis's Earth First CD. This one's called It's Camp.
Now Bobby and Susie were dead broke, had nowhere they could go. Someone told them in Northern California they could make some dough. All they need is a plot of land and 9 or 10 little seeds. Where Reagan blew the economy, a Mother Nature would succeed. Now every everything was going fine for the first year or two. They spent their money back in town, and boy, how that town grew. They never hurt nobody, but somebody took offense. And that's when the campaign against marijuana planting did commence. It's camp with their helicopters. It's camp with their Keystone Cops. Camp come to confiscate the land. It's camp, forget the Constitution. It's camp, reversing evolution. It's camp, hey, we're getting camped on again. Now Jimmy was an unemployed logger. He'd been clear cut out of work. He had a wife and three small children. Boy, how that man hurt. But then a hippie told him about growing dope, and he thought he'd give it a try. And if there's only one thing that Jimmy learned, is that hippies never lie. Now all the loggers in the wood started to fall in line. Growing stuff instead of cutting it down suited them just fine. Bankers, housewives, old folks too began to see the light. But some folks just get ornery if things start going right. It's camp with their helicopters. It's camp with their Keystone Coppers. It's camp come to confiscate the land. It's camp, forget the Constitution. It's camp, reversing evolution. It's camp, hey, we're getting camped on again. Well, they'll break down your door and they'll rip up your floor when they come to search your home. They'll tear up your grandma's picture and x-ray your doggy's bone. They'll search your cesspool, spice rack, kitty litter box, your children's teddy bear, your denture cream tube and your compost heap and your dirty underwear. Now we've got nuclear bombs and chemical waste, and we're running out of oil. We've got apartheid in South Africa and on Arizona's soil. We've got herpes, AIDS, and cancer, and animal torture labs. Got alcoholism and unemployment and poison Tylenol tabs. But big business and the government, they like things the way they are, and will keep you all preoccupied paying your Visa card. But plant a seed and watch them all come out of their corporate caves, but they don't want folks being self-sufficient. They might run out of slaves. It's camp with their helicopters. It's camp with their Keystone Coppers. It's camp come to confiscate the land. It's camp, forget the Constitution. It's camp, reversing evolution. It's camp, hey, we're getting camped on again. One more time. It's camp with their helicopters. It's camp with their Keystone Coppers. It's camp, come to confiscate your land. It's camp, forget the Constitution. It's camp, reversing evolution. It's camp, hey, we're getting camped on again. It's camp!
And Earth First Radio will be right back.